Hello, once again, this is Pastor Phil Fernandez of Trinity Bible Fellowship, and we've been talking a lot lately about Christ's death with the Good Friday coming up, and so right now what I want to talk about is why Christianity is the one true faith, and it's all based on Jesus being the ultimately worthy substitute sacrifice for our sins. There's no other sufficient or adequate sacrifice for our sins, and that Jesus is the only way for us to be saved. And so this is the one true faith. I spell out what I think is the logic of salvation. There's probably some Christians who would disagree with me on some of my points, so bear with me, but I want to read first from John 3:16-18, and that reads, and we're very familiar with this passage. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the Bible says that there's two kinds of people in the world: those who believe in Jesus and receive eternal life, and those who remain condemned because they reject Jesus. This is why Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." This is why the apostles taught in the book of Acts, Acts 4:12, that there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if Christianity is true, there's no other way for mankind to be saved except through Jesus. So, I want to spell out for you what I think is the logical steps in salvation, how God provided salvation for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. I call this the logic of salvation, or Christianity is the one true faith. Now, the Bible teaches that God loves us. He created us. He created us perfect, created us in his image, and he didn't force his love on us because he loved us. True love cannot be forced. So he gave us the freedom to accept or reject his love, and we rejected God's love by rebelling against him in the garden. Now, God is not only totally loving, but he's also totally just, totally righteous. And because he's totally just, he must judge and punish all sin. He cannot have fellowship with sin. And so God cannot forgive sin unless it has been paid for in full. God's justice demands that sin has to be paid for. So he cannot forgive sin unless it's been paid for in full. Now, all sin, even the smallest sin, is rebellion against God. And since God is the ultimately worthy being by definition, all sin then earns the ultimate in punishment. So it's not how big is your sin, it's how big is the one you've rebelled against, how big is the one you offended. And so all sin is rebellion against God. All sin therefore earns the ultimate in punishment, what the Bible calls an eternal separation from God, the eternal lake of fire, what we commonly call hell. So all sin earns the ultimate in punishment. Well, if there's going to be a substitute sacrifice for our sin, and animals aren't going to do. So animals just pointed forward. Animal sacrifices never took away sins. It just pointed forward to the day when the ultimately worthy Lamb of God would come. And so any substitute sacrifice to cover our sins must be ultimately worthy. Okay? In other words, has to be God. But a substitute sacrifice must be able to die. You can't have a sacrifice that doesn't die. So now we get back to the love of God. God loves us. Because he loves us, he sent his ultimately worthy Son, God the Son, to become a man, to become our substitute sacrifice. And he punished his Son in our place. Remember, God cannot forgive sin unless it's been paid for in full. Well, God punished his Son in our place. God the Father punished God the Son in our place. And God will not force, again, his love and forgiveness on us because he loves us. So we have the freedom to accept or reject God's love and forgiveness by accepting or rejecting Jesus as our Savior. Now, we can't believe in Jesus without the work, the divine revelation and divine persuasion, without the Holy Spirit chipping away at our hardened hearts. This is what Jacob Arminius called prevenient grace, a preceding enabling grace that sets the will free to accept God's love and forgiveness. But God's not going to force his love and forgiveness on us. We have the freedom to accept or reject God's love and forgiveness by accepting or rejecting Jesus as Savior. Now, God is all-powerful, and he conquered death, man's greatest enemy, conquered death for us by raising Jesus from the dead. And then Jesus' resurrection guarantees the resurrection to life of all believers. So the substitute sacrifice had to be God. This is where Judaism, Islam, the present state of Judaism, they reject Jesus as their Messiah and Savior. Hinduism, Buddhism, all the world's religions fail because there had to be a substitute sacrifice for our sins. If there was an eternal, all-just God, there has to be an ultimately worthy substitute sacrifice. The substitute sacrifice had to be God in order for it to be ultimately worthy. But the substitute sacrifice also had to be a man in order to represent man and also to be able to die for our sins. God as God cannot die. So God the Son had to take on a human nature and become a man without ceasing to be God in order to take our punishment upon himself and die for our sins. So the substitute sacrifice had to be God, for it had to be ultimately worthy. And the substitute sacrifice had to be a man in order to represent man and to be able to die for our sins. This is Anselm talked about this in his Why the God Man, the 11th century AD. Athanasius talked about this a little bit in his work on the incarnation in the 4th century AD. But the reason why Jesus had to become a man and die was because we needed an ultimately worthy substitute sacrifice. The substitute sacrifice had to be God because it had to be ultimately worthy. And the substitute sacrifice had to be a man enabled in order to represent man and then to be able to die for man. So it's my prayer that each one of us will recognize we're all sinners. We cannot save ourselves. But God the Father sent his Son, God the Son, to become a man and to die on the cross for our sins, to take our punishment for us. He died in our place as a substitute sacrifice. And that if we trust in the Lord Jesus alone for salvation, then we are saved. And then the Holy Spirit gives us the new birth and we're born again and empowers us to obey God from the heart. And then Jesus' resurrection, Jesus conquers death for us, and the day will come when our mortal bodies will put on immortality when Jesus returns. And so this is what I call the logic of salvation and why Christianity is the one true faith. Why does Christianity alone save? Because the ultimately worthy God has become a man and has become the ultimately worthy sacrifice for our sins. We need an ultimately worthy substitute sacrifice, and we find that in Jesus. Therefore, Jesus could say, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's salvation in no one else other than the Lord Jesus. Christianity is the one true faith. Please subscribe to the Phil Fernandez Show. And if you want to contact us, it's Trinity Bible Fellowship, P.O. Box 3264, Bremerton, Washington, 98310. You can check us out at Phil Fernandez, Fernandez with an S, philfernandez.org or sermonaudio.com/IBD. Or you can go to our Facebook page. It's Phil Fernandez, again, Fernandez with an S. Facebook page, Trinity Bible Fellowship, or the Facebook page, Institute of Biblical Defense. But God bless you. You can come and visit us once we start gathering again after this coronavirus crisis is over. Once we start gathering again, we meet on Chico Way in Bremerton at Cross Point High School, at the high school in the old gymnasium, 10:30 on Sunday mornings. We've had visitors from Australia, from Canada, from different states. But our regular members are pretty close. Some come from Edmonds, but some come from Tacoma. But whatever the case, we meet in Bremerton, Washington. It's, I think the address is 4012 Chico Way Northwest, Bremerton, Washington, 98311. But if you want to contact us through mail, it's P.O. Box 3264, Bremerton, Washington, 98310. God bless you. Be safe, and be people of prayer and people of the word.